Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Surge Podcast. Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, the weather outside is nice, so I'm doing good.
Ah, back to it. I'm doing well as well. We're recording this on June 16th, which is a Tuesday. So you'll be getting it later this week on Friday, as per usual. Hopefully by this point, you are, if you are playing the video game, playing the new Isle of Armor DLC and whatever comes with that. Again, we're getting a, again, at the time of the recording, we're going to get a direct tomorrow. This, I mean, by the time you listen to this, you already know what happened, but apparently it's about more than just the DLC, so who knows? Maybe they're going to show us PTCGO 2.0.
Or maybe new Pokemon card mechanics.
Dude, what if they did that? What if they just dropped if the direct was part Isle of Armor, part we heard you complain about PTCGO? We're giving it a refresher.
We're changing how the prize system works.
80% of the community would be like, this is a waste of my time. Because if you take the whole community of Pokemon, there are a lot of people that play the TCG. It is way outweighed by the video game, obviously. So, we'll see. But yeah, the Direct's happening. The Isle of Armor is coming. So, just in general, it's a good week for Pokemon. You got the anime on Netflix. A couple new cards reveal. A couple tournaments to look back on this week. So, again, it's a good week to be a fan of this franchise. I asked how you're doing already, Joe. I talked about how I'm doing. So, we're going to jump right into things with our tournament results from over the weekend. For the first time in what feels like forever, we actually have two different tournaments to talk about. We have the Limitless Invitational, which we've been building up to. And we also have the Players' Cup Kickoff Invitational. So we're going to break down both because the Players' Cup Kickoff is kind of a strange event, but it was an event nonetheless that featured probably some of, if not the best players in the world in this event. But we're going to go into the Limitless Invitational first because that's kind of more fresh in our mind and we've been building up to it. So the Limitless Invitational, it was kind of seeded in its own double elimination tournament from Saturday to Sunday. I believe it was about 6 or 7 rounds, maybe 8. And in the top 8, we had 4 Zacian variants. There were 2 Turbo Zacians, 1 Melmetal, 1 ADP. There were 2 Spirit Tombs, which got first and second place, respectively. And there was 1 Dragapult and 1 Pikarom. I watched it from Azul's side, for the most part, because I enjoy him as a streamer. So I watched Zacian Turbo be played most of the time, but I did check in on Limitless's stream as they went through each matchup that they featured. I think Limitless did a great job with this. I think that Limitless should always have these invitationals. It's going to be very tough during the actual competitive season, but I think they do a very nice job, and I think they're very well liked by the community. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Everybody was pretty much a fan of what Limitless has been doing.
Yeah, I mean, you go to their site, they have translations, they have tournament results, decks, they have their own blog, all these different tools that you can use. Limitless.com, LimitlessTCG.com, I should say, is one of the best sites for the card game, and they've really, really done a good job and have helped all of us in one way or another.
But like they've only done like one bad ruling, but we're not going to talk about that one either.
Well, we can talk about the card that happened over the weekend, because there was a bug that happened, which was the biggest unfortunate part of this weekend. So the only way I can talk about this is from Azul's side, because that's kind of where the bug was realized from what we understand. So Azul played Turbo Zacian, and this past weekend, he decided to put Zamazenta V in the list. Previously, it was not in the list, but he put it in for the VMAX matchups, as well as things like the Spirit Tomb matchup. The reason that it's put in for Spirit Tomb matchups is because Spirit Tomb will use Black Market, which is a Prism Stadium that essentially says if your opponent knocks out one of your dark Pokemon that have dark energy attached, whether that's Rainbow, whatever resembles dark energy, your opponent takes one less prize card. So you go into this prize denial situation of these Spirit Tombs, even though they're getting knocked out. If your opponent can't bump the stadium, they can't take prizes. So Azul played this card because he didn't play any stadium removal or any stadiums of his own, because focus of his deck was get Jirachi Prism in, get your combos off, and let's go. I'm a big fan of the list. He soon found out very early on that PTCGO had a bug with Black Market, and in fact, he was denied prizes when he wasn't supposed to be. Zamazenta's attack discards special energy from the opponent's active Pokemon, and because of that, from what we all understand, I think, right? I mean, we could all be wrong. That's, rulings can be funky, but the energy should get discarded before the prize is taken, correct?
Probably. I'd have to ask one of our professors.
Yeah, and we can double check with them again, but I saw him talking with people on a stream and talking to Limitless, the group that was running the event, and they kind of recognized it and said, it sucks, but because we're already so far into this event, what we're going to do is lists are going to stay how it is, and Azul and everyone else was like, yeah, whatever, it is what it is. So basically, with no stadium, way to bounce stadiums, or a way to go around Black Market, the second that Black Market hit the field, Azul's Tuberization and Zamazenta were rendered basically useless. And the reason why that's so relevant is going into Losers Finals, Azul went up against a Spirit Tomb to go into Grand Finals, basically got bopped by it, and then he got bopped by it earlier in the event, and Spirit Tomb beat Spirit Tomb in the finals. With the way the bug worked, there was no way Zacian was going to win. I am a firm believer, regardless of who was playing it, if the interaction worked how we believe it was supposed to, Turbo Zacian would have probably just swept away with this event, because it did a really good job against Pikaram, did a very good job against Dragapult. It didn't really go up against the Melmetal. I think Melmetal Lucario definitely gives Turbo Zacian some problems, giving it that 30 damage kind of shield or reduction. That being said, though, Spirit Tomb is a cool list. We see more of a Spirit Tomb Ultra Beast list floating around now. It's still very, very focused just on getting your Spirit Tombs down, using Jinx, using Jirachi to get damage counters and the tools you need, cycling bosses' orders with Mewtwo. It's pretty straightforward. A lot of these lists played Yveltal GX as well with Doom Count. So if your opponent had 4 damage counters, it knocks it out. It's a pretty straightforward list. I pinned this as a list that you would enjoy playing, Joe. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I played Spirit Tomb before.
Would you play it in this? If we could play tomorrow, would this be the deck you chose to play?
We probably could. Yeah, maybe. Like, it's hard to say. Like, I have a bunch of decks I'm ready to go with. Like, I do a Dragapult I want to play. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mind playing it, but I got these other cards I want to play with first.
Right, so you feel like you're in a spot where this would be the deck that I would play, but because I'm already used to it, I want to try out some new ideas.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. If I were going to a tournament, I'd play this. But if I'm trying to just try play around and play something new, I'm going to play that Dragapult that I have.
It's understandable. I think I would probably lie on the Zacian side. Turbozation would be the list that I would play right now, just out of play style, comfortability with the list. And I think we talked about this the other night. I think we have now finally decided on Zacian as a community. And I think we finally decided, maybe it had been decided already, that Zacian, kind of like Zoroark GX, and I know some people are on totally different ends of this, with Zoroark, I think Zacian is a very strong card without being too oppressive or as terrifying as we thought. We thought Intrepid Sword would be super, super strong. And don't get me wrong, it is strong. But we have seen now time and time again now that without being able to attack that same turn that you accelerate, it really does make a difference. And the fact that you do have to switch around to get Zacian to attack again does make a difference. And because we've seen ADP Zacian sort of fall off for the time being until Jirachi Prism leaves, I think we all feel a lot better about Zacian.
Yeah, I think it has the pick around treatment type of thing. I think we were talking about this yesterday as well. Is like any other electric deck, people talk about Toxtricity for a long time or just straight up Boltons. But then you always come back to the thing, it's like, well, I can always be playing Pikaram. same thing with metal decks. You had people talking about Scizor, and you had, I think you built what's his name? Copperajah V and V Max. All great cards, but at a certain point, you're like, no, I could just be playing
Zacian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of these Zacian lists are working with the Duskmane Necrozma promo with Duskshot. That basically is the card that makes the Pikaram matchup so viable. It's a bummer that certain cards in this list are leaving. Again, though, if I were to play tomorrow, this is totally what I'd be playing. And really, after rotation, Turbo Zacian is probably something I'm still going to be looking at playing regardless of what it lost. I think there's value in it regardless. But overall, that was the final finishes for the Limitless Invitational. Again, I think they did a phenomenal job. If you want to see more of the deck list, you can go check that out on their website. They'll all be there for you. But we are going to move into the Players' Cup kickoff. So this event was a little strange, and I think a lot of people have been sort of confused or have been ignoring it just because the event has gotten kind of some ups and downs in terms of how people view it and how they've been treating the event and preparing for it. However, over the weekend, we did have a quick invitational that featured 8 very, very good players. Very, 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 very good players. Some world champions, some international champions. Like, if you could grab a list of 8 players, it's very hard to find a list that's better than the list that showed up. You had Tord Reklev, Pramawat, Henry Brand, who won Worlds with Mewtwo. You had Pablo Meza, Andrew Mahone, a bunch of others. And it was just a really, really strong group. So that part, I was like, cool, I'm ready for it. And I think Pokemon overall did a decent job broadcasting it as well, as good as you could do. In terms of Limitless to Pokemon, there really wasn't much of a difference. I think they both did a good job. The strange part about this event, there was not any metal decks played. And even though there were only 8 participants, the deck split was there were basically 3 Pikaram. One that really focused on Bolton, but 3 Pikaram. 2 Blacephalon decks, 2 Dragapult decks, and a Spirit Tomb. For the most part, that covers the meta. That being said, though, you cannot tell me that a meta is complete without any metal variant. And maybe it's just because of the players that played, and that's just kind of how it happened to be, right? You got 8 players. Doesn't necessarily mean they're all playing Zacian. Maybe they wanted to try out new things, too. We see Boltund, Dragapult. Those are 2 kind of new concepts that people are playing with. Isn't it weird, though, that there wasn't even a single Zacian? Not even any variant?
Not even that. So Pokemon did a really good job, like I said, broadcasting. Did a really good job of bringing in top-notch players. The only thing that was not really top-notch about the whole thing was just, it looked like the players that they brought in just kind of like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever type of thing. It felt like a charity game almost, because like their deck lists weren't even... Tor didn't have a Switch. Switch is a bad card now, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of felt like an all-star game, right? If you're a fan of sports, where it's just like, the good guys come in, all the best players, and they duke it out for a couple hours. And sure, it's competitive, but it's mostly for fun. And maybe that was the idea here, right? Maybe that's exactly what they were trying to do. But you're mentioning Tord. Tord played Dragapult VMAX, and in terms of switching cards, he played Scoop Up Net and a Skateboard, which technically still works, right? Dragapult VMAX has 1 retreat. Jirachi has 1 retreat. Everything in his deck has 1 retreat. So it's not like it's the craziest thing in the world, but to your point, the fact that his deck didn't play any switch, like any just straight up switch, is kind of mind-boggling.
Unless for some reason he got some kind of bet, which has happened before.
Well, and we've seen too, though, with Tord, the way Tord's playstyle has always worked is he plays consistency, right? When he builds his list, he goes, okay, this is the combo I want. These are the cards I want. How do I make sure that these are the cards I have? So, in terms of how his deck list looks, it's very much based around consistency, right? 4 Dragapults, 4 Dragapult VMAX, 4 Jirachis, 4 Marnies, 4 Research. Played 9 Energies, 4 Horror Psychic Energies, 5 Psychic Energies. A couple Energy Spinners to keep the consistency going. 4 quick ball, 4 mysterious treasure, 3 bosses orders, which I personally think is high. A lot of people do play 3. 2 shrine of punishments. You could just kind of see which cards he just wanted to make sure he had. And to that point, it's not a bad list, but it is so weird that there's just no switch. And look, Tor's one of the best players in the world, if not the best when it's all said and done. It's just kind of weird seeing how we've been watching the meta develop through this limitless qualifier. And then this sort of like, we'll call it an all-star game, right? This kickoff event happens and it just doesn't, it feels like a completely different meta. Even though it has 80% of the decks that already are existing, it didn't really measure up. And in terms of finishes, which we didn't even talk about yet, Tor did end up winning the event with Dragapult against Andrew Mahone, who played a Baby Blounds list. The Spirit Tomb list got last. Right? We just saw an event where Spirit Tomb ran the table, albeit getting some help from a little bit of a glitch. It just blew, it didn't do anything. It just kind of blew it, right? And you can have bad matchups, right? You go against Blacephalon, you're going against other things. The trades can definitely not be in your favor at times. I really like the Spirit Tomb list, though, and it just got bodied. And so it was a little weird to watch it, kind of like you were saying it. Do you have anything else to add on this? There's not a lot here, but it was cool to watch, but it was strange.
Yeah, like I got really excited to start watching it, and then I started watching a little bit more and more, and like some of the interactions got really weird, even inside the game as a point, like regular PTCGO things. I'm like interesting to watch, but I'm also not interested at all. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, well, I think it's also because no one playing, I mean, I think it was pre-recorded matches, but
they were.
The commentators weren't even super into it like they normally are. And that's not an insult to them, right? I mean, they're used to being at an event with that energy, and that energy is just gone, right? It's not like Limitless was yelling out of their seats while talking about games.
Well, they were trying to make things that weren't interesting, because there's like some comments, like, whoa! Just like making weird reactions, not a weird reaction, but like making reactions that people wouldn't really react to.
If they were commentating a normal regional, it wouldn't have been said, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of what. And again, they were trying to make the best out of the situation that they kind of created. I like it. It was a cool event. I don't want to bash the competitors, and I'm not bashing. So hopefully, you listeners don't think that. We're just trying to explain that it was just a little weird. It didn't feel authentic, and that's because it wasn't authentic, right? It wasn't a live event. The energy wasn't there. Just comparing it to Limitless, I think that Limitless and the Players' Cup being on the same days did not do the Players' Cup any benefit. I think that's kind of where we'll leave it.
Yeah, probably.
That being said, though, super amped that we had 2 events to watch. I'm awesome. I'm happy with that. Again, in a time where we're not able to have the actual in-person card game going on, we have outlets for the game, and that's on our community for doing an awesome job with that. We're going to move into the card news now. We have 3 sets of news that we're going to dive into. First one, maybe 4 weeks ago, maybe more than that. We heard about this trainer's toolkit, right? We knew it was going to have the Denes. It had said this thing about having like 50 useful cards. Awesome trainers like Pokegear, Pokecom, Reset Stamp. Like, we knew all this. Well, we finally got some more word on what's going to be showing up. And Joe, we said there was no way that Boss's Orders was going to show up in this. And we said, all right, there's no hope for Boss's lowering in price. It's not coming up in any of these products. We were wrong.
I'm glad.
And this post from Poke Beach, it basically says we don't have the list of 50 cards. However, we can confirm there will be 2 non-holo Boss's Orders. I don't care if they were drawn on with Cran. If they are playable, that's awesome. The fact that this kit for $30 will give you 2 Dedenes and 2 Boss's Orders, leaving it there, it's worth it. Right? Just if you told me I was going to get 50 cards, 4 of them were Dedenes and Boss's Orders, and the other 46 were cards that someone picked with their eyes closed, I would even consider it, right? $30. The denes are expensive. Boss's orders are expensive. That's a great deal. But you're also getting Pokecoms, Pokegears, special energies, which we hope are the more recent ones, reset stamps, sleeves, dice. If you're a beginner, every once in a while we show these beginner products. If you're a beginner, a veteran, whatever, this is worth it.
Because I've seen some pictures too with having professors, research, and Marnies too. So let's think about it this way. If someone told you you're trying to get into a card game, right? And to get every single staple card, a playset of staple cards for $60, would you do it?
Yeah, probably.
That's basically two kits. You get four to that. If you get two kits, you get basically a playset of everything.
Right. And Dedenes are like an $18 card right now, and you're getting the alternative art, like the really like looks like it was squished. It's a really weird art, but it's cool. So you get that nice limited edition art. You get the
better than that Eevee.
Yes, it is. Ugh. It's way better than the chubby Eevee. And you get these alternative arts for Stamp, Com, and Pokegear. It's awesome, man. This is one of the better products they've come out with. So I'm very, very happy to see that.
And there's quick balls in there too, somewhere too. It's like it's literally all your staples are in there. Anything it might not have, I think, are great balls, but great balls are dirt cheap.
And probably 90% of those cards would go into your first deck, regardless of what you're playing. Right? Meta or not, almost all of these cards, out of the 50 cards, I bet 45 of them could go in your deck. Right? Especially if there's researches, Marnies, everything. It's awesome. Enough of that, though. We're going to move into some cards and a new set that we learned about. So we know that later this year, we are getting a new movie from the Pokemon series that features the legendary Pokemon Zarude. Zarude is the grass dark type monkey Pokemon. We don't know when we're getting it. It'll be a mystery gift, odds are. It was supposed to come out with the movie. The pandemic sort of changed that to like a TBD type of thing. We don't really know when we're going to get it. However, it has been revealed that we will be getting a set. This is going to be kind of our yearly special set, like our Dragon's Majesty, our Hidden Fates. And it's going to be called Legendary Heartbeat in Japan. It'll have its own name here. It's going to feature 76 cards, and it's going to release the same day as the movie does, which is in Japan supposed to be mid-July. Normally, in these sets, we either get a theme or a new mechanic, and in this set, we are getting these things called Amazing Rares. But before we get to that, though, we do have a V, because the set cannot be complete without having Zarude. Zarude V was revealed, and we're going to go over that first. Zarude is a grass-type 210 HP basic Pokemon, and for two colorless energies, it has Bind Down for 50 damage. Your opponent's Pokemon cannot retreat. And for two grass, Jungle Rise, 100 damage. You may attach up to two basic energy cards from your hand to your bench Pokemon in any way you like. Heal all damage from those Pokemon. It's weak to fire, resistance of none, and has a retreat of one. Joe, this is a very good card.
This is a very, very good card.
I mean, it's not going to be really knocking things out. So I'm curious to see kind of where it will fit in a more aggressive meta. Like, again, we usually have an NAEU. That being said, though, two energy, 100 damage, and you can not only ramp, but also fully heal Pokemon. That's not bad, man.
You know what's pretty scary if it comes out again is Celebi Venusaur.
Yeah, with this dude.
you accelerate energy, and B, you can heal off a bunch of things.
Well, seriously, I mean, even like Venusaur Snivy, Rillaboom, like, does this make grass super playable right away? Not necessarily. That being said, though, it does help its cause, because we've talked about Rillaboom's a thing right now, but nobody's playing it. Or even talking about playing it. Why? It's still too clunky. Maybe Zarude can speed that up a little bit, or at least give it a foot to stand on, because it not only accelerates, like we used Baby Rillaboom to do, but it also heals, and that can't be overstated. And what's really interesting about this is it doesn't have to be grass Pokemon. So although the attack does cost 2 grass energies, I'm going to be interested to see if with Aurora Energy and the other things we have in format, if Zarude gets placed in different decks. That might be an overstretch, but I'm a super big fan of the card overall. Anything else you want to add on it?
No.
Yeah, it does its thing. Before we go into the amazing rares as well, I should have done this before. There's another card that got revealed like a couple hours before we started recording. There is a Clefairy that's also going to be in this set. It's one of your basic commons. The only reason it's worth mentioning is that it has an attack called Mini Metronome for 2 colorless energy, and it's flip a coin of heads. You may use one of your opponent's attacks of the active Pokemon. What do you think of this card? It's one of those things that using someone else's attack is awesome, but it is a coin flip.
It's just a throwback to the Metronome from base set that got reprinted in X and Y Evolutions. Except that one actually had a guaranteed.
Right. It had a guaranteed way to use the attack. And this is an awful... I wouldn't be surprised if I see this in a list later on down the road in a psychic box type of thing. Because you're not going to put Clefairy in a list to win. You're going to put Clefairy in a list to come back at a matchup. And there's not much to say on the card, but I think it can use GX attacks. I think it can use everything else. So because it has the potential to use that high amount of power, it's worth mentioning. Fair?
Plus, you always have that one card.
Oh, and another card. Stadium. Well, you have the stadium.
You have the stadium that works. And then
what's it called? Glimwood Tangle.
Yeah, and then they have the supporter that no one can ever remember.
Hey, you know what? Clefairy, 4 of. Run it. The ultimate counter deck. But Twin not Energy. Really. Please don't run it. Let's move on before we go into that hole. All right, so now we're going to bounce back. Like I said, so we hit Zarude. We skipped the amazing rares. We talked about Clefairy. We're going to end the show talking about these amazing rares. And I say that not because they're necessarily amazing, but because they're literally called amazing rares. That is the mechanic that we are getting in this set. So we got 2 revealed for us. We got a Jirachi and a Rayquaza. The whole idea behind the amazing rares is that they have one attack that costs 3 energy, assumably, if we're taking the cards we have here as relevant information moving forward. And the attacks do something incredible. Like, they do a really, really good thing, and they cost 3 really obscure costs of energy. So, first up is Jirachi. Jirachi is a metal type, 70 HP, has the ability Dream Oracle. Once during your turn, if this Pokemon is your active, you may look at the top 2 cards of your deck, put one of them into your hand, and return the other on top of your deck. It's a pretty decent ability. We've seen that with Pidgeotto. Has to be in the active, but good ability nonetheless. Its attack is Amazing Star. Search your deck for up to 7 basic energies and attach them to your Pokemon in any way you like. Man, that sounds busted, but wait. It costs 1 psychic, 1 fighting, and 1 metal energy to use. Huh. All right, let's look at Rayquaza. Rayquaza is 120 HP basic, it's colorless. Its attack, Amazing Burst, 80 damage. Discard all basic energy. This attack does 80 damage for each type of basic energy you discarded. Well, it costs 1 grass, 1 lightning, and 1 fighting. Joe, what do you think about amazing rares?
They're pretty to look at.
They are pretty.
Yeah. So, that's really it. I guess you have Turbo Patch.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, you have a couple things to consider here, right? You, if we're treating the card fairly and the mechanic fairly, we go, okay, there's Turbo Patch, there's Metal Patch for Jirachi, I guess. You have Aurora Energy, and you technically have ADP. Now, there's only one way that ADP becomes relevant in this conversation. It's really only one way in my eyes. And that's the second that we get a card that costs at least 1 metal and at least 1 water. Right? I mean, you're not going to be playing ADP Rayquaza and having a metal, grass, electric, and fighting, and water. I mean, you could. It's just a little strange, right? It's definitely a more of a fun card. What I'm interested in is usually in these sets, we leave with one card that sticks with us, right? We leave We leave the opening of the sets with one or two cards that still are relevant in the meta until it rotates. And I'm very curious to see what those cards are going to be. Maybe it's Zarude. Maybe we see some weird energy ramp deck with Jirachi. I don't know. All I know is that in the past, it's not unheard of to get a card out of these weird specialty sets that can completely shape a meta. Remember, this is also the type of set that we got Zoroark out of. This is the type of set that we got Marshadow out of. Not the stadium one. Not the stadium one. The one that basically judges your hand to four right away. We got some pretty strong cards out of these sets. And Dragon's Majesty wasn't crazy, but we got more fire support out of that set as well. And am I wrong to say that we usually walk out of these sets with like two or three cards that are really good?
No, you're not wrong. Because Zoroark was one of those side.
That's what I'm saying. The fact that Zoroark was in a side set.
But they also made a box set afterwards.
They did. And we also don't know what other Vs are going to be in the set. On the cover, we see Zarude, Celebi, Zamazenta, Zacian, Lugia, and Genesect. And I'm expecting that we'll get a Lugia and Genesect V. That's going to be my guess. Out of the Vs that we're getting.
Are they going to make them amazing? All of them amazing rares.
Nah, I hope not. That we'll get an amazing rare for Zacian and Zamazenta. But we are kind of due for a Genesect V. You know what I mean? We're due for a Lugia V. The fact that they're in the sets and we've kind of made our way into the Vs and Vmaxes, I think that we're going to be getting one. One way or another, at least one of these, if not both. I wouldn't imagine it to be any other way. We're going to have to wait, though. We won't know. But the cool part about this is this set, I believe, is releasing again in mid-July. And that's about 3.5 weeks away. So yeah. We'll know this set.
Yeah, the interesting side thing too is like they're gonna have a box set. I'm assuming it's gonna be only Japanese only. It's gonna have Marnie with Morpeko. And the interesting thing to me, have you ever recalled a Pokemon coin with a trainer on it?
No, I know. Yeah, I didn't even notice that at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a Marnie coin.
That's cool. Marnie's a cool character, so I'm cool with that. That's awesome. And for people that love to collect the different coins, that's a really cool addition to this. And I imagine that's why you pointed it out, too, because I'm sure you're looking at that going, that could be a cool coin to have.
Yeah, I think the art's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. We're just going to have to see how this works, right? I imagine that within the next 2 weeks, we will know every card in the set, right? I mean, if the set's going to be out, like I'm looking at this, when the podcast released, we will be officially 3 weeks away from the official release of the set. So we will know the set. Things will start to leak. I bet even by the time this podcast is out, early the next week, we will have most of the set revealed. So that's pretty awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to say about these cards, though, Joe? Because we've pretty much hit all of the news.
No, not really. Everything looks pretty good. I just can't wait to see what else comes up from this set because, like I said, I think the best is still yet to come. Like, I think it's very good, but I think there's something spicy going to be coming.
I could not agree with you more. With that said, though, we will be heading out of here. Thank you all so much for supporting this show. If you would like to give us any critiques or comments or concerns, the best venue for us right now is still Facebook, just because, again, that's where a lot of the community is. That's kind of where a lot of our communications are based for the show at this time. We do have a Twitter as well, though. All of that is linked in the description below each podcast. Thank you guys so much again for the support. I don't want to say that too little. I can't say it enough. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you. With that said, enjoy your weekend ahead of you, and we'll see you next week.